the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said the demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane.
This is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode, in which I will continue the audio version of my book titled My Tongue is the Pen of a Ready Writer, Adding Color to a World of Gray. You may obtain a free copy of this book to read on your own or even along with the podcast. Contact me through the email for this page. The link is on the right side of the page towards the bottom when you scroll down. Or you can even go to my website, goyei.mysite.com, to obtain the other contact information for requesting your free hard copy by mail or the PDF version right away via email. Page 13. His Majesty, the God of Wonder. The Lord has said, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they should fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Know that the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside him. Neither is there any rock like our God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Who is able to stand before this holy, self-existing, eternal God? Holy in majesty, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Holy and reverend is his name, not man's name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord is a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if you return unto him. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Lord is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved, that the nations may tremble at the Lord's presence. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, saith the Lord? Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. This King of glory said to Moses, "I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. The Holy Bible continues, Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord is the true God, He is the living God, and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. This God of holiness healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Chapter 5, page 15. The Rule of Law, God's Requirements for Righteousness. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand, to the right hand, or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might be well with thee. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. To be righteous before God, one must keep all the commandments. This was confirmed by Lord Jesus when he was gone forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud, that is, covet not, honor thy father and mother. Even Holy Spirit moved Paul the Apostle to quote the Old Testament, saying, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Just as Moses recorded the words of God elsewhere in the Old Testament, Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. On another occasion a dialogue took place concerning the law as follows. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? What followed was the summary of the Lord Jesus, which includes those you hate. Tell me, Ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? He is a debtor to do the whole law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. People like this do not realize the law was written with the finger of God, not men. The same is true according to Jesus Christ, who said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Search the Scriptures. "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Elsewhere the Bible records, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." Chapter 6, page 17. Establishing Evidence. A Matter of Witnesses. "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Since it is not possible to bring up two or three witnesses to address the iniquities and sins of all who will encounter this book or podcast episode, the sound of these Scriptures, 1, your conscience, 2, and Holy Spirit will be three witnesses in addition to the three witnesses found within the pages of the Holy Bible, those being the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God, not men. At this point, those who are only listening and don't have available or near them the actual text in the book or in the digital format, what follows on page 18 is a table, a three-column table, in the format of this three witnesses that was just explained, as that's God's method for acquiring a true witness as to whether one is guilty of transgressing his law. This table is set up in three columns, the first column being the Exodus commandments 1 through 10, the Deuteronomy commandments 1 through 10, and then the third column is correlating verses that relate to the commandments from Exodus and or Deuteronomy. The correlating verses predominantly come from the New Testament, though there are Old Testament references, to show that this is still in effect. It is still utilized in the New Testament dispensation, or the dispensation of grace, as you may have already been exposed to. In the page itself in the book is rather packed of information, so just keep in mind as you're listening that I'm covering, and I will try and remember to mention which column I'm in and reading for your sake. It'll be obvious when I quote the reference such as Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy, you know automatically what column I'm in, as well as the correlating verses. I will try and remember to mention that. For those who are reading along, we're resuming on page 18. Exodus commandments. Number 1, Exodus 20 verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. At the start of these commandments listed and the correlating verses column, it needs to be stated how each one of these commandments and associated applications, like covetousness with wardrobes and the lotto, would each require a 1 hour teaching at the very minimum. This is not an exaggeration. Moreover, this is to emphasize just how deep and rich the counsel of God is in Yeshua Adonai, Hebrew for Lord Jesus. There is no attempt in this book to make blind-sided, bigoted, broad-stroking, blanket statements about sin, no matter how strange or outrageous the following may seem to the reader. What once was the normal use and commentary on the law of God is relayed to you now. Be informed that belief in these laws or not is no escape from the certainty thereof. The admonishment is for you to consider the following information with a humble heart. God is the judge, not you. This is His law. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. May it be understood how God's law is of such perfection, reflecting His holiness, and protection, revealing His marvelous concern for our well-being, that there is nothing but benevolence in the Almighty's instruction to us in the law of God. Again, in a 1 hour or more teaching on each commandment, this can be clearly demonstrated in the Bible as a whole and established as logical in the realm of the mind. Though most of the following will be perceived as a bunch of can't-dos or negativity, an appeal is made for you to look outside your cultural box to view, perhaps for the first time, the wondrous provision in the thou shalt nots. Think about it this way. How you must appreciate your parents' commands to you as a child to look both ways before crossing the street. Restrictive? Hardly. Killjoy parents? Absurd. Now consider wholeheartedly the law of God found exclusively in the basic instruction before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. Correlating verses relevant to the first commandment. Gods, plural, in the Bible are described as being leaders, rulers, kings, presidents, in our modern vernacular, judges, as you will find in Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, and again in Psalm 82, verse 12, just to name two locations. Also, gods are referred to throughout the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, as man-made objects or imaginations, ideologies, philosophies. You learn about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 23 and 25. Again, people in authority in this category of gods, John chapter 10, verses 33 through 35. And an inappropriate view of government, as discussed in Romans chapter 13. That needs a week on its own. All authorities mentioned are subject to God's laws and are required to uphold them and punish evildoers only. Otherwise, Christians are to resist the devilish authority or government by speaking up and out against the government's evil. You learn about that in James chapter 4, verse 7, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, as well as the entirety of your Old Testament and Book of Acts in the New Testament. Christians are not to retaliate against evil encountered, but pray, bless, and do good in response. Four examples of people, Christians and others, having other gods before the Lord are these. 1. Unbiblical government education of your children. 2. Marriage licenses from the state ordaining or divorcing what God won't. Number 3. Debts, loans from banks versus savings from God. 4. The IRS 501c3 tax exemption status for Christ churches and ministries, even a state license to preach or minister. Commandment number 2, Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You get the idea in John chapter 14, verse 15, when the Lord Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Notice that Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jehovah, didn't change his mind about how one demonstrates love towards God. Commandment number 2 in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. When one loves God, it is known by keeping his commandments. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. John 15, verse 10. The second commandment elsewhere in the Bible, the correlating verses, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 tells us, stubbornness is idolatry, image worship or veneration given to any created object, person, or belief forbidden in God's law, fetishism, or the worship of trees, rivers, hills, stones, etc., nature worship, the worship of the sun, moon, stars, and supposed deities of nature. 3. Hero worship, that is the worship of deceased ancestors or entertainment personalities. 4. Relics, figurines, icons, statues of religious or biblical persons used to facilitate worship or prayer. Throughout the Old and New Testament, you'll find that all these idols start in the intangible place of a person's affections, that is, heart, toward something. Exodus chapter 14, verses 3 through 7, and chapter 20, verse 16. In the New Testament, the term idolatry is used to designate covetousness, as you will read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Luke chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. The third commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How you use a person's name and what you say using their name or in their name reveals what you really think about that person. Commandment 3 in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, also in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 10 through 16. Deuteronomy 5:11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. A person's name identifies that person's character, nature, and essence. To misuse their name shows you despise them. In the correlating verses column, our words, choices, or actions can take God's name in vain by denying or misrepresenting the very God and faith said to be believed in, as you'll find in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Also by using Jesus Christ in a useless, derogatory manner when injured, aggravated, or startled. Doctrines taught and believed to be biblical when actually not so take God's name in vain. Doing crusades, events in His name for personal gain and or self-group validation is taking His name in vain. Lying for others, even under oath, is taking His name in vain. Or blasphemy, which is attributing things of God unto yourself without justification, or that detracts focus away from or speaks against God. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Matthew 26, verse 65, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation 13, verse 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, and again I emphasize to you, read Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 16 to really get God's attitude towards those who take His name in vain.
So come lose your life for a carpenter's son, for a madman who died for a dream. And you'll have the faith His first followers had, and you'll feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say you must know, and the courage to say I believe. For the power of paradox opens your eyes and blinds those who say they can see.
This concludes this episode of the GOYI International Broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and/or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the GOYI International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyiinternational.mysite.com, and there you get further information by which you can write and/or use other email and call. Finally, brethren, pray for us. The word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you.
Remember to visit often and stay late. There's a different world for you to discover.